This series is funded by Monaghan County Council and the Heritage Council.
Well, this is my forge that has been here for a good few years now, and it's smallish, but it's very efficient. It works well for me, and I have done extensive research into Irish blacksmithing. And the main and most important thing that I have done is the gussets of Irish gates.
Okay.
And it's not to say, it's just it means that I have it the way that it should be done.
Right, yeah.
In the forge, I use a lot of forge welding in this forge.
Yeah. You use the traditional method to make.
I made that for
it. Well, it's not beautiful. Is it a great smell? It's a great smell. You have it all fired up anyway.
I put my name on it.
Look. Welcome to another episode of Heritage at the Heart. We're here today with Peter Cassidy, blacksmith, just outside Monaghan Town on the road to Coachella, where he has his workshop. So Peter, this workshop, it looks like it's been here for hundreds of years, but it's actually fairly recently.
Well, the tools have been around for a long time, because I like the older tools because they're easier to work with.
Yeah.
And there's no computers in them, and this is the hearth where all the work, it does most of the work for me, because if you can't use the fire right, you forget about using it at all. This is one of my anvils. I have a few of them here, but I use this one now extensively.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't got a maker's name on it, but when you see these little holes in each side of the
mm-hmm.
anvil,
yeah.
that's a sign that these anvils were made in a forge.
Right, okay.
And they were built up with a central block.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've seen underneath it, you see a hole in that block, but there's two holes here
right.
that they used. And they used them for to insert a bar into it and wedge it in for to lift that block out
when they were
assembling it together.
Right.
And that's one of the hardy tools with a shank on it. That is the hardy hole. That one, particular one's for riveting.
Right.
This one here is for...
This is fascinating.
For cutting off.
Oh, yeah.
I make all my own tools.
You make your own tools as well. And what about the anvil?
Well, I never made an anvil.
No, another level.
I made the small one for making a smaller bick on it, and it does fit in, but
yeah.
I never had time to try and make an anvil, but there's some people around the world have made small anvils, but they've made very small ones.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
I someday I might make one.
This is made by hand.
They're nice when the last job that the anvil makers done to these anvils
mm-hmm.
was weld a steel plate.
Right.
Across
oh,
it to that
top.
Depth,
yeah,
and you can see it
yeah,
in places.
Yeah, you can actually. It's
and
down.
That gives the anvil a nice. No, when you're using it, there's a nice sound out of
it. Yes, that's the noise of it, isn't it?
And
so that's steel on top of iron?
That's steel, and the reason that they put steel on it was for up until the turn of the last century, wrought iron was the main metal for making anything out of.
Mm-hmm.
And wrought iron wouldn't stand up to the hammer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
when they put this thick bar of steel on, they welded it on. And the man that put that on, he would have been the boss of the job. But when he was putting it on, that plate, he didn't just drop it down on it, because if you drop it that way, it would
okay.
never move.
Mm-hmm.
It would be welded the minute he put it on it.
Right.
But he put it on the edge
right.
and then folded
okay,
it over.
Yes. So it had to be exactly straight.
It was a highly skilled job and was last done in the world in around the 1970s in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't close the factory because they had no work.
Right.
They closed the factory because the young people wouldn't take up the job.
Right.
and they thought it was too hard, but it was an extremely skilled job to do. It's great testament to their work.
It's
and
beautiful.
this anvil is called the London pattern anvil.
Okay.
London pattern meaning that it's got a square hole at the back and a square back on it. And a Pritchell hole, that is, or a punching hole, if you want to simplify it. And it's horn, and also it's notable that this is a softer plate for cutting stuff with a chisel.
Okay.
I mean, you see an odd chisel mark in it, but I used it.
Is that still steel, though?
So that's not the steel.
That's not steel.
The steel only reaches to here.
Okay.
And the best thing to put them on is a wooden block.
Yeah, and you've got yours on stone here, have you?
The
that's wood, sorry.
It is.
Yes, a big block of wood underneath.
It doesn't add a lot of weight to it because the timber's light, but it's mainly... In olden times, I think a lot of them used Sally blocks, and some of them may have used the alum blocks, but you can't get alum anymore, and it's not as easy to find a Sally tree with the right size block in it.
And then you've got your bits of tools. I just made
them little things.
Yeah.
Any tool that's here, I made it. That's another one I made there, and that's one I made. I made that out of it's a ball, and I can shape stuff around it. If I have to. The main work that I do here is heritage blacksmithing, and that's the next gate that I'll do.
So you would restore them?
I have made curtain poles there from one of my daughters, and I do that sort of work too, but even though it's steel, I still weld it at the forge.
Yes.
I can weld any type of steel.
Tell us about the fire behind you. So,
well, the fire is sitting neutral now because there's no air going into it.
Right. Okay.
So we'll start up a fan, and it'll make a slight bit of noise, but it's not too bad.
So,
we'll
use the bellows anymore? Or?
I use the bellows for shows and. There's a set of bellows are very interesting. I was given them by Aidan Boyle about 3 months ago.
Right.
They belonged to my granduncle in Rosslea.
Yeah.
And his brother had bought them and isn't, God rest him, he's not alive at the minute and he never got using them. You see the square hole in it?
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the valves.
Right, that's a huge
and
bellows.
And the air is shuttled through that bellows till it comes out at the top, out through this one here.
Right, okay.
And in this type bellows, when you're pumping it down, it gives air, and when you're pumping it up, it gives air.
Okay.
But this fire is lighting up now.
Oh, it is,
and, it's getting... It's
the sparks are flying. Do you wear any... Do you have to be really careful, or have you had any incidents with it, or you're used to it?
I'm doing blacksmithing a long time, and in my age of growing up, if you seen somebody wearing goggles, you'd think they were wearing glasses.
Right.
And you'd say there was something wrong with my eyesight. And there's different things that you make sure of. You certainly don't overheat your steel or ruin it, because then the sparks will fly everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're welding, there's a misconception in some areas that when you're welding steel, raise it up to the highest heat you can get it, but that's not right.
Right, okay.
There's an in-between heat that...
the optimum temperature.
The job that I was going to do today was... This here is... going to be a new gate that I'm doing. I'll price it first for the man, but I think he'll go for. I'm just scarfing this part here, and I'll explain what I'm doing.
Okay. So this is a long flat bar from
this is gate? This is the rail of the gate.
Yeah.
Now in England, the tannin would be put on there.
Yeah.
And that would be pushed in. But then in England, a lot of gates have like this one here has. It has a tension bar in it. So they put an X into it for to make a strut.
Right, okay.
And a tie, the one in that gate there, because it's hanging, it's a strut because it's forcing all the weight down to this lower corner here of the hanging style.
Mm-hmm.
But this fire will heat this stuff up fairly.
So you're putting one end in.
Hey?
You're putting one end into the fire.
So now, what they do in Ireland, or what is in Irish heritage blacksmithing, which is very unique, is it's not unique in Ireland, but it's unique in the rest of the world. The weld on a gusset.
Okay.
Now, that gusset is welded on. It supports that whole bar.
Right.
It changes the weight down the back bar of the gate, and they seldom ever had to put any braces into the gates.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's a very efficient way. This gusset is the most simplest gusset that I know how to make. So.
But
the first thing you have to do before you weld is scar your piece that it has a place for the weld. So now I'm going to have to go to this side of it here. So all this has to be done in reasonable time. But the main thing is for to get the heat into it. So I'm going to just make the fire a bit more positive in itself. But you can see that fire there is a nice white fire. That's essential for welding. And I pick out coal that works from you. Nowadays you have to have a good understanding of coal.
Yeah.
The fact that some blacksmiths don't learn forge welding because they think it's not possible even in steel. This is a bar of steel, and I'm welding a piece of steel under it. It would have been wrought iron years ago, but wrought iron is too expensive. It's 10 times to 20 times the price of a bar made steel.
Right, okay.
So you can say that bar of steel was maybe 20 euro, well, 320 is 60, or nearly even 100 euro for wrought iron.
Yeah.
Wrought iron isn't made today in the world anywhere. It's not produced, but it's recycled from the anchor chains of the Navy ships that were sank.
Yes. So what are you doing now?
I'm just cleaning this off first. That is to be clean, and I'm putting.
It's like a steel.
I'm going to put a little bit of flux on it. And you can see it; it's on it. And then I'm going to get the other piece. Now, the gussets that are on this gate over here are made with that piece welded in, but the plate of the rail extends right up to here, and it was made more so in the 1800s, where they wanted to make a more refined thing than the 1700s, and there was always a competition between generations. And sometimes now some blacksmiths think that a plasma cutter is a new addition and is far better than the way that they were made. But if it's a historic gate, you can't. I was told one time that I was living in the past. I wasn't living in the past.
No.
I'm not living in the past. I'm not dressed like I was living in the past. But if you want to find out how this is done, you won't find it out in the future.
You're keeping that.
I'm trying to bring this back into blacksmithing, and I have done it all in my own forge.
Yeah.
And
How long have you been doing the blacksmithing?
Well, there's a bore in my foot that I got when I was 5 years of age in a boiling house belonging to my father, and that's the truth. And it's on this foot here, and it's a big round bore where a piece of steel or iron fell into it that broke off.
Yeah.
And it's.
Do you remember that?
I do remember it because, sadly, that put an end to me doing anything with the fire for a long number of years after that. But when I was 10 years of age, my father helped me to build my first forge, a little forge, in that same boiling house because he wasn't using the fire. So...
Right, you're getting the piece back out of the fire.
My Uncle Frank worked in Kiltorne from 1911 till he died in 1956 or 57. And he made the spire of Orbishani Chapel for the priest and the bishop.
Right? Yeah.
And he had a smaller forge than this. Mm-hmm. And people thought that he was mad taking on a big long job because it was 30 foot long, the spire, for to support the masonry. And
yes, because it looked like it was down into the stonework.
The first thing my uncle done, he made a big hole at the back of his forge and he let the long piece out into the field.
He told the bishop
then, the bishop thought it was strange that he might have ever made something like that in a small forge. And he said, no, he says, I didn't make that in that forge. He says, I made it in the big foundry that I have up the road. And the parish priest put his hat on and he said to the bishop to come on out of the place. But he was said afterwards to be the only man that anybody knew of that stood up and told blatant lies to the bishop. And even until a lot of old people died over the years, mm-hmm. and there's nobody tells me that now, but they used to say that.
They used to tell you that story?
They used to say that.
Oh, and it's
done as good as that, because it's not as easy to do it when somebody I'm used to doing it when people are watching me, but maybe not this level of thing. But I have discovered maybe well over 100 wells of different types,
right, in Ireland alone, or
only in this country level. There's a well there, and it looks like it was machined on.
It does. You're often tasked with repairing some of these gates, want to keep them, that skill's invaluable.
When I repair that gate there, there's two people that I think of when I'm repairing it. The first one is the man that made it, or woman that made it, but usually the man that made it. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is the customer. And I'm not going to fool the customer that I didn't forge weld it or do it the way it was supposed to be done. I don't want to. I told somebody one day that was annoying me about it that at least my uncle would be able to laugh at me on the day.
It's built to last, isn't it? They're built to last.
They're built to last.
Yeah, and they're worth preserving. And I mean,
They are, because they won't be in as numerous. I have a number of gates to make, for my two daughters and one for this place here, a set of gates at the lane, and I'm going to make them with them gussets on them there.
Well, it's amazing the work that you're doing, and I would thank you anyway for keeping it going. And it's labour intensive, and you need passion, and you obviously have that passion.
It's not it's not as heavy a work as you think it is, but it can be. If everything is working right for you, you don't think you're doing heavy work. I seldom think I'm doing heavy work, but there is a thing about using hammers. If you want to hit light blows, you use a light hammer.
Okay.
But if you want to hit heavy blows and you try to use that, you break your arm.
Right.
You get a heavier arm.
Right. Okay.
You use it.
And you have all
it's
the
a
tools.
Matter. Yeah. It's a matter of getting a hammer that suits the purpose.
Thank you so much for having us here today. It's been a bit of a nice relief coming in from the rain and the June day. It's absolutely lashing outside and so cozy in here. I just think it's amazing the work that you do, and I love to see your work around the place, around the county. And we'll come off now. We'll be back another day to see how the gussets are coming on.